Welcome to Fair Tax Time Radio with your host, John Wesley Nobles. This is Bill Payne. Join me in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com.
Politicians in Hollywood, they have their own agenda. Ripping up a right. They don't care who gets offended. And lie to our faces every day about our America.
Special thanks go out to Small Town for the intro music, Our America.
But I made up my mind, I'm gonna make a change. Take back what's right. It's not theirs anyway, still yours and mine. Still our America.
Hear more Small Town music at smalltowndays.com.
America.
And now it's time for Fair Tax Time Radio with your host, John Wesley Noble.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby, that's it. That's the ticket right there. Oh, I mean, this is Bill Payne. I've been sitting in for John Wesley Noble for about 6 or 8 months now. But that's all right. We'll bring him on. We got him with us tonight. Do we have you online with us there, John?
Oh, you do, Bill Payne. And hey, let me tell you, partner, that was creative to come up with Grassroots Godmother. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you, I roared for about 5 minutes thinking of Marilyn as the Grassroots Godmother. But, you know, that's a fitting title for her. It really is. And she's been grassroots, and we're all grassroots, so that's what we'll kick in and talk about tonight. Bill, that was a great headline you put up. I'll tell you what, maybe we can do this. Maybe we can bring the godmother on and have her, Marilyn, if you would. All the Fair Tax world knows you, but we may have other people listening in from the Tea Parties and the Oath Keepers and other groups around the country. And if you could give them a little short bio of who you are and what you do.
Yeah. And we have you, I got your button pushed, but that's somebody else's button. Sorry about that, other person, that I don't know who you are. But let's see. Yeah, okay. That should be Marilyn right there.
Okay. It's good to be with you guys tonight.
Well, Godmother, it's nice having you with us.
Well, you want to know what I do? Just about everything. That's legal and moral. Now, those are my rules.
Okay.
And then the grassroots would say, well, if you had to pick one, I'm sorry, I'm picking them both. But I'm open to all ideas, and we move forward from here. Basically, I had a very badly broken leg. This was back in the mid-90s, and I was a little cranky and was bored, and I couldn't walk. And so my son taught me to use this new invention called the Internet. Well, that opened a whole new world to me. And I just happened upon this website that said Americans for Fair Taxation. And they had the idea of the fair tax and eliminating the IRS and getting rid of, the income tax. And I thought, these people are just plain nuts. So I decided to make it my project, since I was bored anyway, to find the fatal flaw and to show them where they went wrong. Well, by about 97, after I had asked them many, many questions, I told them they could pencil me in as state director for Illinois, because as far as I know, no one else in Illinois even knew about it at that time. So I decided to get to work, and still looking for the fatal flaw, which I have not found yet, and began, working with the fair tax. Then 1999 rolled around, and we got the bill in Congress. And I figured, ha, my job's over. Obviously, the Congress would see what a logical bill this was and quickly pass it. Boy, was I wrong. I find they really don't do much logic in Congress. Then, in about 2002, I had my worst day in fair tax ever. There was a big event in downtown Chicago, and they had invited all these tax people. I mean, Cato was there, and National Taxpayers Union was there, and, you know, everybody was there. So, and I had gotten my volunteers together. I had gotten my booth set, you know, ready to go. I had all my materials, and I'm about to walk out the door, and the phone rings. It's about 6:30 in the morning, and I was ordered not to go to the event by AFFT. Well, as it turns out, the AFFT had decided to shut down at that time. And I was confused, and, hey, I had spent all this money on a booth, and I'm very thrifty. And I'm thinking, well, this is really weird. But I'm thinking the fair tax bill is still in Congress, so I'm going anyway. So I did. So I went to this event, and I felt just horrible all day. Do these people know that I'm a fraud? You know, AFFT is gone. The fair tax bill is probably dead. And I'm here pushing the fair tax anyway. Well, at the end of that day, I decided this was never going to happen to me again. So I called up some other volunteers, and we all agreed that if there was a bill in Congress, we were going to push for the fair tax no matter what. And that's basically when the idea for Fair Tax Nation was born. But a few days later, AFFT relented, and since we were going to do it anyway, they said, okay, we'll run AFFT, and have been going ever since. But as a backstop, Fair Tax Nation began to grow as we had a backstop in case this ever happened to me again. I bet you didn't know that story, did you, John?
I didn't, but I'm going to chime in because I have to say this for the folks that are listening around the country, that maybe it's the first time they've ever heard of Fair Tax, and maybe the first time about Fair Tax Nation. Our godmother of the grassroots has done an awful lot of work, and you know, I've been a consumption tax advocate since 1968, so I was. And back there with Spillane and Katz, and even before then, you know. So that's the only thing that really tripped my trigger and got my interest was, we ought to end this bloody income tax. It just doesn't make sense. I've never been audited. I better shut up. They'll probably kick the door down later tonight. But I, as a young lad, maybe 21, 22, I did my first long form return, and I have to be honest about it. I was a little short of cash, and I really couldn't pay the IRS, so I figured I'd be slick as a whistle, and I'd float and send them an unsigned check. And I found out, whoa, they can cash those unsigned checks, so I've never liked the IRS since then because they cash that check. Fortunately, their inefficiency saved the day, and I managed to get enough money into the bank account, and the checks didn't start bouncing. So that worked out okay. But anyhow, I'm kind of going backwards here with Marilyn. Folks, if you haven't met her, she works round the clock. She drives a little car. I'm not going to tell you what kind of car. But she goes from Chicago to Chattanooga to Kentucky, all over the country in this little car that she drives. And man, we were down there, and Bill, you remember this? She pulled into the Chattanooga choo-choo down there, and I don't know how she got all that stuff in that little car. But she just signs and packages and things just kept coming out and out and out and out, and I just couldn't get over it. But Marilyn, kudos to you. I mean, I know how much you have done, and thank God that you've been around, because you have been the support group through Fair Tax Nation. The stuff that I've been to, I know we were at the Red Rock for the Libertarian Convention. Again, you, through Fair Tax Nation, provided the booth in Las Vegas. You provided the actual, and when I say the booth, not only paying for the booth, you shipped a regular professional-looking booth from Chicago out to Las Vegas. You've done so much, and as I recall, we were in Memphis about the time that Popbox was just getting off the ground, and the people from Popbox came out and talked, and you set that up as well. And as far as I can recall, you've done through Fairtax Nation most all of the events, and I want to put some more kudos in for you here. Godmother, don't get carried away now. Marilyn, Marilyn also, I have a lot of friends. I'm a Tea Party person. I'm an oath keeper and a lot of other things, but we have the state director for Tea Party Patriots in California, John Berry, called me and said, you know, I'm a Fairtax guy. We're going to do a candidate packet on all the candidates down here in Southern California running. We're going to knock doors and we're going door to door. Can we get some literature from Fairtax? I said, well, John, you've seen the trifold that we use. How's that work? He said, that'd be great. And God bless Merlin. She saved the day again and shipped out about 8,000 of those cookies to John Berry. And let me tell you, they put out 8,000 of them. These aren't Fairtax people. These were Tea Party people. And thanks to Merlin, saved the day again and got the materials in their hands. I want you to talk about this now, Marilyn. When we all got around, I say around the table on the telephone, over Bill Payne. When Bill Payne, I asked him about this thing called the River Bend, and never heard of it in my life, and how we put that thing together in very, very short notice. So back to you, Marilyn. You share that with people. I think it's an exciting story.
Well, I think you're giving me far too much credit, because we're always broke. Because if we get money in, money goes right back out to support the Fairtax, the grassroots. And it's the grassroots who does the work that makes everything possible. That I had never heard of the River Bend. And it's a festival, and it's at the bend of a river. Imagine that creative naming. So what happened was is that John says, hey, I'll fly down there to Chattanooga. And, of course, our friend Bill Payne says, hey, I got this made. So we couldn't get a booth. We couldn't get a booth inside. Well, we probably didn't have the money to get a booth inside anyway. So, okay, what are we going to do? There's going to be, I don't know, Bill, do you know how many thousands of people showed up?
Well,
it was a lot.
About almost 100,000 people a day, and it went on
right.
For
yeah.
One day.
So,
yeah, and they were there too, boy.
That's right. Well, this was too big of a crowd we couldn't miss. So we got our thinking caps on, and Bill was very creative with this. So we got large, tall cardboard boxes, and we put Fairtax signs on the boxes. We could pick up our box and move it. 'Cause, see, we couldn't get in. Because, you know, we didn't have a booth. We were, you know, on the street out in front. Fortunately,
yeah.
The people were very patient there. And we had some signs that you could wear, like, you know, those sandwich signs. I ended up putting mine on the ground because it was too hot. It's Chattanooga. So, and I'm from Chicago. We don't have hot weather. So put my sign down there, and we had some blinky lights on there, and we made up cards, business cards. And we had, thanks to our good friend Nancy, had donated a couple of those Kindle Fire things. So
yeah, three of them, I recall, yeah.
If you text message, you know, you put the text in Fairtax to this number, that you would get the Fairtax text messages, and you could be signed up to get a win a Kindle Fire. So we started passing these out. I mean, this was a week-long thing. And people, like you wouldn't believe. So we had a really good time. We got a lot of good things. We got three people who were winners. And, Bill, didn't you pass out one of those Kindle Fires in person?
Yes, I did. Did a video of it and all that, and which is, you can still watch that video up on YouTube. It's, it was pretty cool.
Right.
One of the winners was from Chattanooga. The other two were, one was from South Carolina, I believe, and the other one was from somewhere else. Of course, people come from all over the place to River Bend. I kind of expected more winners from Chattanooga because there are obviously most of our visitors are here are from Chattanooga when they come to that festival. But they're from everywhere. We managed to the three winners. Only one of them was from here. So
right. So we did this huge event, and really the cost was minimal because the Kindle
really?
Fires were donated, and we basically had cardboard boxes and business cards.
Yeah.
So
well, and they look good.
Yeah, they really
and
did.
It really looked first class. And yeah, I'm going to jump in here real quick, Marilyn, because for the folks out in the audience, we did all of this on the telephone. Marilyn's up in Chicago. Bill is in Chattanooga. And we had Nancy over here in Victorville, California, me over in Apple Valley, California. And Rob Williams is down in Corpus Christi, Texas. He's a programming guy, that formerly from California. And we're trying to put all this stuff together. And lo and behold, Marilyn has this text number, and that was a great idea. And we're trying to figure out, you know, how in God's name do you print up 700,000 pieces of anything without going into a lot of money? And we didn't do 700,000, but we put out about 50,000 cards, and we got a lot of participation, and I think 11 to 13 calls per minute on the text number, and all in all, I mean, here we were, no booth, and thanks to Bill was also the audience was running a stage at the River Bend because Bill's a musician and a songwriter, and so he has all this theatrical background, and so he's running a stage, and when he gets time off, he comes out and helps pass out cards. I mean, this guy's working himself to death, and we're all volunteers doing this stuff. And Marilyn, Bill, I would say that is probably the biggest event to date that any fair taxer's done, wouldn't you?
I don't know any larger, but there may be out there because, hey, fair tax people are everywhere.
Well, they are.
Yeah, I think it would be, probably a good idea to do that at Riverbend some more. I mean, Riverbend's not going to quit. And,
no.
I mean, it's every year. This year, I think it's from... I believe the dates are, in case we have anybody sitting out there saying, well, shoot, I'm not doing anything between now and June 5th through the 13th. I could put something together like that.
Yeah, Bill. Hey, and do they still have the same gates? As I recall, they had four or five different gates, and we just hung out at the gates and caught people coming in.
Yeah. There are actually three gates, one main gate in the middle.
Yep.
It all goes onto one road there, which is Riverfront Parkway. And it's about a half mile long from one end to the other. And there's a gate at either end and one in the middle. And the one
yep.
in the middle is basically the main gate. Probably more people come through there than the other two. But the other two are very busy, too, particularly the west gate is particularly busy late at night because that's where the shuttle buses come picking people up and dropping them off. So about 11 o'clock at night, the things are still going on at that time of night, but a lot of people starting to leave. So, I mean, we're talking about thousands of people trying to get out of that place, trying to walk through the gate and get out there where they can be picked up by the shuttle bus, which takes them across town there where they have parking across town. You for a dollar you ride all the way across town on a bus, and they drop you off right there at the gate. If you want to risk trying to park somewhere yourself, well, the key word is risk, because you might have to walk a half a mile from wherever you park to the gate. And then there's another, like I said, from one end to the other of the festival, there's another half hour or a half a mile. So it's pretty it's pretty spread out. There are seven music stages, untold numbers of vendors. I mean, everything, the food is, thankfully, most of that is all in one area. But there are all kinds of other other vendors, like all the military services are represented, and they all have big, huge demonstration booths and stuff. It's really pretty wild. I mean, the Marines have their own thing, and the Army, of course, and the Navy, and the Air Force, they all have their own thing, and they're there every year, and they all kind of compete to try to see who can do the most spectacular things, you know. But it's a really wild event. Interestingly, Cincinnati has an event each year they call Riverbend also. It's nowhere near the scope of Chattanooga. Chattanooga is actually one of the 10 largest festivals, music festivals in the world. So
I loved it. I've never read anything like it. It was, some of us out here, we've covered the state fairs and the Los Angeles County Fair, which has millions. We tried to do the one in Texas, but we couldn't get enough folks to help us out. And that's probably where I forgot about the number of gates. It may have been L.A. County Fair that had 5 entry gates that we tried to cover. But undoubtedly, Chattanooga was the most fun I've ever had. The music was incredible. Of course, having Bill Payne there as the host in the city and helping in the way he worked hard, and he's working full time doing a stage there as well. It was really, to me, an incredible experience. One of the things I couldn't get over, Bill, is you folks in Tennessee drink a lot of whiskey, and they're out there. These people are drinking Boilermakers at these sound stages, and generally you see people consuming that kind of alcohol and beer and everything. Sometimes they get a little rowdy and out of hand, but I never saw a soul in Chattanooga, and they were putting some hard liquor away that they were just as cordial, and the Southern hospitality and the folks were just marvelous. It was an experience that I'll cherish. I love the people in Chattanooga. It's a great city, and maybe we ought to go back there and do that again this year.
Yeah, well, that's a possibility, I guess. Well, while I've got the mic there, I'd like to tell everybody listening. Everybody that's listening, by the way, is listening on their phone. And so I know that because there's nobody in the chat room, and all the lines are open, not open, but they all got numbers attached to them. If you are listening on the phone and you'd like to speak to Marilyn, or if you'd like to speak to John or myself, just press 1 on your phone, and it'll show up on my switchboard here. And when we start taking calls, which will be just in another minute, we'll get you on with us.
Hey, great, Bill. If we could do a couple of things before we take the first call. Maybe Marilyn could lead off, or some of us could lead off with what we're doing on Popbox. And to the people in the audience, if you have an event, I don't care where it is, if it's in Chattanooga, if it's in L.A., or Tucumcari, New Mexico, get on the line. Tell us about it. Tell us when you're doing it, what Fairtex is doing. I know we have some folks in California that are doing some events. And all of these things are important. And how you tell us how you're doing it, what all the details on it. We want to hear about it. Back to you, Bill.
Back to me, huh? Okay. Well,
okay.
Let's see if Marilyn is up to it. I would. I see we had one of my callers dropped off, and I think. Oh no, he's still there. I see him.
Oh God, I thought we lost. I thought we had one expire.
I think I recognize the number, but I'm going to ask him anyway. He put his hand down, but let me see. I'm gonna bring him on. Let's see here. Who do we have from the 507 area code, exchange 896? That sounds, looks like a number I've seen before.
Hey, guys. This is Dave Boone from Minnesota.
Hey, Dave. Welcome, partner.
When I heard Marilyn was going to be on, I dropped everything to listen.
Well, I've got a great Dave Boone story. That... When Fairtex Nation first started, our first event was the Republican convention that was up there in Minnesota with you. We decided we wanted to do something. We had no money. We had never really worked together to do anything as an organization. Yet, the people of Minnesota pulled together. Dave, you want to tell a little bit about what happened at the Republican convention?
Well, yeah. We set up, we had the use of a classic residence there that had been turned into an office building. And people in the neighborhood there in Minneapolis refer to it as the castle. And this is just a gorgeous place. And so we set up in one of the main rooms in that place, and we entertained literally busloads of people from the delegates from the convention. I know we had a huge contingent there that came in a bus from Texas. And by golly, Marilyn showed up, and she had a bunch of people literally from all over the country in tow. And we had quite a high old time. It was a reception, and there was a little adult spirits in the room. And we learned a lot that day, and we signed up a lot of people for the fair tax. And I was just astounded at the support that Marilyn gave us.
Well, it was kind of amazing because it was our first event, and we were donated the use of this castle, and it really looked like a castle. In fact, if you go to fairtaxnation.com, we have a picture section, and you can see pictures from this event and many others. And we had sent out all these invitations, but we had no idea if anyone was going to show up. So I had all these people here. We had food donated from the different groups or different businesses around. And, again, we did it on the cheap because we had no money.
Yeah.
And
story of our lives.
I held my breath. And the first bus pulled up in front, and it was the Texas delegation. And they started piling off the bus, and I said, thank goodness somebody showed up. And then we were busy from then on.
Yep.
So that was our first event, and Dave was there, and we couldn't have done it without him because this was all grassroots.
Yep, that was a great day. Well, I'm not going to take everybody else's time on the air. I just wanted to tell you, Marilyn, that whenever I need to notch up on the pecking order in the Fair Tax Organization, I just drop your name.
Okay. Well, I don't know if that and 5 cents would buy you anything, but, hey, you can try.
You guys have a great one. I'll listen.
Stick around, Dave. Don't leave Dodge. Stay with us, and maybe you can join in later. Appreciate you calling in, too.
I'll listen in. I might listen in on the computer.
Okay,
thanks,
sir.
Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Bill, would you happen to have, is Dr. Ken Smith around? Did you see him on the board?
As a matter of fact, I do. He hasn't raised his hand.
Well,
but,
drag him in. Give him the hook. Drag him in.
Put him on the spot, huh?
Put him on the spot.
Actually, well, he just moved, so he just put his hand up there.
Okay.
Let's see here. When you put your hand up, you go from the bottom to the top. So, well, not really to the top, but there are some folks that have been holding a good little while, so we'll get to them here just momentarily. Appreciate everybody's patience, and welcome Dr. Ken Smith.
Hi, can you hear me okay, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
We can hear you great, Ken.
Oh, perfect. Okay, well, I've been enjoying everything that's been said. I just have to throw out kudos also to Marilyn Rickert, who has just done an outstanding job, and I had the good pleasure of meeting her in Houston a couple summers ago, and John has said, I think she's truly the godmother of the grassroots movement of Fair Tax. So great job, Marilyn. I also want to thank you for what you did to help us out in the booth that we had at the Mountain View Art and Wine Festival last September.
That was wonderful. Why don't you give us a little rundown and tell us what happened?
Well, we had a booth there. We had John came up from Southern California. John and Deanne Deline came up and joined us. We had good volunteers who stuck with us for pretty much all of the weekend, and we had a team of guys who threw up the tent and got really good. District Director from District 20, Frank Wagner, and Marty Sturmer was there from San Francisco, and several friends of mine in the Silicon Valley area who helped out, and we had probably 200 to 250,000 people come through that weekend.
Just about.
And we had a lot of action, and had a big, huge sign that Frank Wagner had created, big posters, and we got a chance to be on local TV, community TV channel to speak our bits. John did, and I did as well, and got on the radio, right, John? I think we did, yeah.
Oh, we did. Yeah, Ken, yeah. And what a great time it was. Tell the folks about the private showing of Unfair, the movie that we did before we actually got out and manned our booth
there
in Mountain Dew.
We kicked off the weekend Friday evening. We had a little private showing of the trailer. Not the trailer, but the screening copy of Unfair. And got a lot of interest there. And people were excited and stuck with that, watching the whole thing that evening. And we also showed the trailer at our booth that we cycled back quite a bit through the weekend, and the sun was a little bright. It's hard to see, but we had the speakers on, and people could hear it, and that drew some people to the booth. Nancy Kesey also provided us with a lot of paraphernalia stuff, other things that attracted the kids to the booth, and we had people walking around the event with Fairtex stickers on their shirts, and I mean, many of the kids would take those and put them on their parents. So we had a good time, and I'd love to do that kind of event today. I was just, going through the Riverbend website, just looking, and they have a countdown, and that looks like quite an event as well. So.
Maybe we can ride share to Chattanooga, and I'll drive the car. You guys buy the gas. How's that work? I'm not staying in the same hotel that I stayed at. I'm going to tell you, I'm going down to the Chattanooga Choo Choo this time, where Maryland stayed. They got a great buffet down there, and I'll tell you, it's a fun event. Ken, while you're on the line,
I'm excited to join you, John, and we're playing United.
Be in
Riverside in 3 weeks.
Yes, we'll be there. Let's see, that's the 21st. And we might tell everybody who's going to be there. I'll tell you, this is our second year at Unite IE. About 20 plus conservative groups, and our High Desert Fair Tax support group is one of them. And we have Oath Keepers, and we have the Constitution Club, and we have on and on and on, a lot of different groups. And so we've really, and this is in keeping with the stuff that Marilyn, I know, loves, because she's a great coalition builder, and I think Ken is, and I am. We're all grassroots people. Anyhow, the event in Riverside is going to be held at the Fox Performing Arts Theater. And for those that aren't familiar with Riverside, California, the Fox Theater was reworked, and they did a marvelous job. I spent about $23 million, and that was the theater where the West Coast premiere of Gone with the Wind was shown in 1939. So it's all as it was in 39, and it's just absolutely a gorgeous venue. And we're going to have a lineup. Now, we did it last year. We had Dinesh D'Souza and Ann Coulter and Evan Sayet and others. And this was the guys with Unite IE, like we do, put this thing together in maybe 4 weeks or so. It was an incredibly short period of time to line all this up. Well, this year, they really have an all-star cast. We've got Rick Perry, Governor Rick Perry, Governor Bobby Jindal, Carly Fiorina, Evan Sayet, Elders. Lord, we've got just an all-star cast of speakers that will be there. Starts at 8:30 in the morning, goes to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. That's the second one we've done, and Ken and I talked about this earlier. Every one of the VIP tickets is already sold out. So the only tickets available in Riverside are up in the balcony, which are $25, and down in the down on the main floor, and I think those are $45 this year. So if you want to go to that event, it's a great event, and our friends and colleagues, this is primarily put together through Unite IE and the Redlands Tea Party and some other Tea Party groups, and about 20-some conservative organizations around Southern California. It's going to be a great thing. Ken, you can tell us, if you would, sir, we're also going to be in Sacramento a week later. Can you tell us about that, please?
Correct. Yeah, we're going to be at the California Republican Party Convention in Sacramento that following weekend. And there are probably over 1,000 delegates that come to that event, and from all over the state, of course. And we are going to actually, we're hoping at least, we've applied for, and I think we'll get approval for a table at that event. We'll have some steady representation at the table. And these tables usually get a lot of activity. The delegates walk through that area, and there's a lot of activity, and people are very interested in all of the different organizations that represent themselves. And then we're going to be following that up, John, and hopefully getting down to the Democratic Convention in
May.
Yeah.
That'll be at the Anaheim Convention Center. We hope to meet Minnie Mouse from Disneyland, and we might. Anyhow, we'll be down at the Anaheim Convention Center because we are nonpartisan, and we have our Democrat friends that we want to get with. Ken, I know that you have been very, very involved, as Marilyn and others have around the country, with PopVox, and you've been issued a challenge, have you not, sir, from the great state of Florida?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I'm the state director for California, and the state director from Florida has challenged us. For a while, I think they got jealous because the California votes were the highest number on PopVox for a couple of weeks, I think, and then they've taken us over number-wise. So what they've done now is they've challenged us in California to a vote number based on districts. So they have about 27 congressional districts in their state, and we have 53 in our state. So in order to win the contest, we're going to need to come up with about twice as many actual votes on PopVox because we're going to decide this based on size of districts or number of districts. So think that with our massive population, John, you and I talked about this, we have 37 million people in California.
37 million. Ken, you're right. We have massive population heads here, but that Florida group, man, they're an organized group. They have the dinero down there. You know, that's the land of the newlywed and nearly dead down in Florida. So they bring all this money from New York, and what the hell, we can't compete with that. So, but we're going to take our little band of Indians here, and we're going to try to work our 37 million people and give the great state of Florida a run for the money. And
absolutely.
And I think we will, Ken.
I agree. We'll do it. We'll do it. Thank you. Thank you, Bill, for asking me on.
Yes, no problem, Ken. Just for everybody's interest there, we were talking about PopVox there. The House bill, H.R. 25, on PopVox right now has 1,982 supporters.
Letters.
Just 18 more, and we'll have 2,000 supporters and 104 opposing, and those 104 are extremely misdirected.
Well, They're part of the 5%, Bill.
Oh, yeah, exactly. they say inane things like, I oppose it because it's a regressive tax that will hurt poor people. Well, we all know that's just not so. But anyway, on the Senate side of things, three more supporters and we'll have 1,000. So we're running about 50% behind on the Senate side. And so we'd like folks to, if you've already voted on H.R. 25, to please go vote for S-155. That's the Fair Tax Act. And that will, you go there by just going to Pop Box and plug in S-155, or just plug in the Fair Tax Act, and it should give you the House version and the Senate version, and you can vote on both of them. It's very important to do that. So anyway, inside of what, 3 weeks?
3 weeks. 2000, incredible.
2,000 supporters. That's about half what we had for the last 2 years. So that's,
well, we had 2,766 that we closed the year out with the, representing 2 years. So we're doing a phenomenal job. Bill, I'm going to just squeeze in here real quick. For those that are not Fair Tax people, because I realize, you know, we're our group out here is a Tea Party Patriot chapter, and we have 1.4 million Tea Party Patriots that many of whom are Fair Tax supporters that may be on the line with us tonight. You may or may not have been familiar with PopBox, but PopBox.com is a website that any activist around the country that wants to get the word out, that wants to support or oppose bills, ought to be using it. A couple of things happen. Your representative will receive your letter. It will not be a boilerplate letter or a petition that you put an X in. It will be in your words, and that will go to your representative and also to your two senators. And in addition to that, your letter will also be recorded in the Library of Congress. So we know that Washington listens, and not only your representative and your senators, other people that are interested in those bills that you may be interested in. I know we have a lot of folks that are on the anti-immigration amnesty bills. I was up in Santa Barbara on Martin Luther King Day, and we were doing a free speech and a free press rally, and it was over the illegal immigration and amnesty, and the newspaper up there was graffitied and really turned into quite a thing. We had 250 people on our side that showed up. And so we've got not only people with Fair Tax, which is the leading, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the leading bill on PopBox at the moment. And that's quite remarkable, because last year, the two issues that led would have been Second Amendment rights and immigration. And I suspect they will go up there again. But anyhow, PopBox is a website that has something for every citizen that is interested in the way his country is operating and wants to have a voice. And every bill that's on the Hill is there. So you can go in free of charge, doesn't cost a penny, it doesn't take much time, and I think those of us that have done it will tell you a few minutes. You register, so your vote, you're authenticated, your vote is quantified, they know who you are, you're a real person, and Washington listens, and not only the Congress and the Senate, but believe me, the lobbyists read this stuff too. So it's an excellent platform for any grassroots activist. I would encourage everybody, even if you're listening in and you're not a Fair Tax supporter, but you have a bill or a number of bills that you're passionate in, and our producer and great advocate, Bill Payne, I think, has weighed in on probably 100 different bills. He's really a user of PopBox. I would encourage everybody to use this platform. It's really quite a platform, and you have a voice, and you'll be heard. back to you and then back to Marilyn, Bill. Maybe we can talk some more about PopBox.
Sure. Yeah, I got a big mouth and I use it on PopBox quite a bit, as you said. But we also wanted to let you know, too, we have several people who have been holding for us really for quite some time. And I'd like to bring them on, too. Marilyn, your line is open. However, you jump in any time that you feel it's appropriate. You got something to say. I posted on through the, I guess it is through the promote button on my console here, which puts it up on Facebook and Twitter, that the Queen Bee of the Fair Tax Hive is summoning all the worker bees. And the link, and of course nobody's paying attention because there's not a soul in the chat room. But hey, we're doing the best we can here. I would like to bring on somebody that's been holding here for us, our good friend Deanne Deline. She's been she's the next in line. Are you with us there, Deanne?
Yes, I am.
All right. I see your hand was up, so I wanted to make sure I got you.
Okay. I've been talking to John about putting something else on the PopBox cards, and I did it last night, and of course it doesn't look real professional, like if you had a professional printer do it. Some of the lines are a little bit off, but I got it on there, and on the backside, and I had some cardstock, kind of ivory, so it's almost the color of the PopBox card. And, of course, it says the registered PopBox user on the front side. And then when you flip it over, in bold red, it says, vote your opinion. And then it says, number one, go to PopBox.com to tell your Congress person how to vote on any bill. And then number two, register on PopBox to get all bills. And number three, please vote yes on Fair Tax, H.R. 25/S155, and that's in red. And down at the bottom in blue, thank you for helping the USA, our debt, and our generation's jobs. My computer still has future generations on it. The printer does, but it didn't come up on my card, so I don't know what happened. I guess it hiccuped or something. And I thought I needed to put something on the back to remind people what I said when I gave them the card, like a little cheat sheet. And I passed out 10 of them today all over the place. So
great job, Deanne. Great job, Deanne. And boy, I'll tell you, this is shades of Chattanooga. This is shades of Riverbend. I mean, everybody is just out there doing their thing, and that's really grassroots. And it just, you know, it's exciting to see everybody. They just pick up the ball and run with it. Deanne, we have another event. You and I are going to be down at the Corona Narco Tea Party, I think, on February 7th. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. And I'll pass out those cards then. It'll be quicker than trying to glue them on paper on the backside or paperclip them or staple them on the backside. They're ready.
Yes. Yes, and now we didn't have this some time back when Ken and Marty and Frank and the other people initially went up to Santa Cruz, and they were going to do a PopBox event, and they were trying to do it on the computers. They weren't set up to use the iPads and smartphones the way they are now. So I think Jeremiah Bersowski will go down there to Corona with us, and we will try to get those people up on the site, get them registered, and get them to vote in support of Fair Tax, and they can go on their other causes, and be it immigration or Second Amendment rights, whatever, and do that later. But we'll at least get them registered on PopBox, get their support on H.R. 25. Hopefully, if they're interested, their Tea Party people are not one-dimensional. They may choose to join our good friends over at Fair Tax Nation or AFFT and, take more active role in moving the Fair Tax initiative or bill forward. And we certainly appreciate everybody's help. Deanne, do you have any other events that we might have forgotten or things that we're going to be working on?
Well, I'm trying to work on that game night for the families of the Constitution game, Constitution Quest. I don't know if I can get it off the ground, but I sure would like to have it.
Right. Now
grandchildren were asking me today, are we going to play the game today? I said, no, I'll play it on Saturday night when I'm babysitting you.
Yeah, Deanne, that's the one that we went out and met with the folks over at a group called Political Visions here in here in the High Desert area, and we went in and had a cup of coffee with them, and we helped one of the candidates, and we're working as individuals, so we're not bound by the rules that some of the nonprofits are. I mean, we're all out there as individuals, and I think that's going to be great. And we're kind of forming a little coalition group in our area within the county, and for those around the nation, we're basically located in San Bernardino County, the largest county in the nation, about 26,000 square miles, a lot of sand, you know, and cactus and stuff like that. And so we have a lot of miles going from this event to the other. We will have hopefully maybe Don Wildman from San Diego is on the phone. I hope she'll join us tonight. Hope she's available. She is she's also a Tea Party coordinator, and she runs a thing in San Diego County called San Diego Tax Coalition Group or something like that down in San Diego area. So anyhow, Deanne, thank you for everything you do. You spend a lot of time on Fair Tax along with Nancy Kesey and others, and you are the unsung heroes. You're right in there, the kind of people that Marilyn and Bill and a lot of us are, and thank you for everything that you do.
You're welcome.
Bill, you have another caller.
Actually, we sure enough do. Actually, we've had a couple of them gave up on me here, I guess, but that's all right. We understand. Let's see. Sometimes it takes a little while. Actually, we had... anyway, let's see. All right, so moving on down here to the next person in line. I don't recognize the number. But we have someone from the 313 area code, 736 exchange. Your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hey, Bill. Dara Fisher calling from Detroit.
Hey, Dara. I don't know why.
Motor City.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
Hey, great, Dar. Welcome.
Yes. Marilyn, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm glad to speak to you. One of the heroes of the Fair Tax is Dar Fisher.
He's a computer whiz
person.
I pale in comparison to you and John Wesley and even Bill. You guys are just fantastic, and I have the highest respect for you and appreciate everything that you guys are doing. I really spend a lot of my time with my brothers and sisters who are left of political center because I feel deep down that we're not going to get above 8% in the Senate or above the 14% in the House of representatives that we currently have. That equates to 4 senators right now, and I think it's 63 representatives. Until we start seeing our Democratic brothers and sisters start to get a hold of this message and understand the profound importance and what it will mean to every hardworking family who has money ripped off from them every hour they work and from the first dollar their kids work when they're first employed. Terrible, terrible regressive payroll tax that the wealthy get away with, it's just, we've just got to see our brothers and sisters on the left really start coming alive on this. Marilyn, I'm wondering if you can give me any input into what your experience has been with other fair taxers on the left.
Well, actually, I live near Chicago, So if I only talk to Republicans, I'd probably have no one to talk to.
You'd be very lonely.
Very lonely. So I have found that once you get past the first 5 minutes, people are usually open to it. But the problem is they just can't believe that we can do anything about it. So many of them have just given up hope. And to inspire hope, I think, is the one thing that we've got to do, that you believe something and you can do it. I think that's why the Yes, We Can caught on so well. It's because people have to believe that, yes, they can actually make a difference. That has been my biggest hurdle here. Actually, once you get past that and you start a conversation, people, you know, just love the fair tax bill. It really doesn't matter what their political party is. So we've had great success with that, but they're just not willing to dip their toe in the water yet and get fully involved.
I'm glad you guys brought that up, Dar and Marilyn. We absolutely have to have the Democrats. We were fortunate to, through Tomasek, when we were in Las Vegas at the Libertarian Convention, we spent probably half an hour, 45 minutes with Governor Gary Johnson, who really turned the Libertarian Party around, and him and Judge Jim Gray. And I'll tell you, I totally agree with you, too. And we've got to have the Democrats, and we've got to have the youth. If we don't get the Democrats and the youth, we may as well all go home, assume the fetal position, and suck our thumbs, because we can't do it without the Democratic Party. And it's well to remember that when this bill was first introduced, it was a Democrat and a Republican, and for all of our Democrats out there, the Democrats were four, they only had seven co-sponsors in those days, four Democrat co-sponsors and three Republicans, so it really was nonpartisan, and we need to get back there again. And I, boy, I'm on board with you guys. We're going to, and Ken Smith and I have talked about it, and others out here in California, because Marilyn, very much like you, if we don't talk to Democrats here in California, we'll get awfully lonely as well. So we're going to make it a point. We've already started our young person crusade at the colleges. But we're going to make it a point to go to Democratic events, go to their clubs, and spend time with them. We're going to have an outreach, and we've got to do that, or we're just not going to make it. And God bless the both of you for everything you did. Marilyn, you were also instrumental with Danny K. Davis, who we had on the show, and several times. And it was not that we're going to sign him up to be a fair tax person, but he was certainly open-minded and a gentleman. Would you want to pick that up and run with it?
I agree. As a matter of fact, Jabari from Washington, D.C., and I went there. We had an invitation to speak with him in person, one-on-one. We thought we'd be there for about 15 minutes. It ended up being an hour, maybe a little more. As a matter of fact, we had to excuse ourselves because we had other people waiting that we had appointments with. But he was very interested. He had asked a lot of questions, and I wouldn't think that we can write Congressman Davis off yet. Because
I think
he was
you're right.
Too interested.
I think you're right, Marilyn. I want to give you some kudos. Something that you did last year, and folks, let me tell you, this came about because of Marilyn Rickert's efforts. It was, I think, an important thing to do, and I wish we could do it often. She put the congressional briefing together. We had 50 congressional staffers there from 50 different congressional districts, and we've been working on a congressman here in our district who is a Republican, and we can't break him, but we're working on that, and I think that made a big difference, Marilyn, and thank you for that. I hope that'll happen again.
I hope so, too. We really had an amazing group of people. For example, Bernie Sanders, I don't know if you know him. He's about liberal. He's almost off the cliff.
He's a socialist, isn't he?
Well, some people would say that. I'm not.
I heard Bill told me, I think. It was Bill Payne told me he was a registered socialist. Is that right, Bill Payne?
He is a member of the Socialist Party, yes.
Aha. Uh-huh. I knew it was fact, or Bill wouldn't say it.
That's right. So he sent a representative. We had a gentleman who came from Homeland Security. Because remember, the national debt is a risk to our national security. So we had an amazing group of people. The room held 50 people. We actually had 55 people actually showed up. So 5 people didn't get lunch. Neither did any of the fare taxers. So it was one of those things where we were thinking, well, if 10 people show up, we'll be happy. But to have the house packed and to have to find extra chairs and bring them in was a truly amazing thing. So I hope we can do that again. But again, these things are not free, and we need the volunteers to do it. So, we're working to get it done, and I'd like to make a pitch for fairtaxnation.com. Please join us. It's a site for people who already support the fair tax. We're not going to debate the intricacies of the bill, though we're happy to answer questions and so forth. But it's a good way to meet other fair tax people from around the country. People from all 50 states are represented, and this is a wonderful thing, and if you're at all interested in the fair tax and what the grassroots do, please feel free to join us.
And Godmother, I want to share this with the audience too. As Godmother of the Grassroots says, she is a coalition builder. I am, Bill is, we all are. And we will reach out across the aisle to groups, the different political persuasions, Fair Tax, H.R. 25, S-155, is an American bill. It belongs to all of us. I know Blue Dog Democrats, and I'm sure you do in the state of Illinois, Maryland, that are big Second Amendment supporters. I got a call the other night from our Oath Keeper chapter leader, and he was telling me some of the legislation that's going to be coming down the pike in California to disarm us. Now, there are two things we know that in some states they want to do. They want our money, they want our guns, and they want us to be quiet. And I don't know that we're going to cooperate on that. As a matter of fact, I don't think we will. And I would encourage, as you do, Marilyn, that you get out and go outside your comfort zone as a grassroots person. Go to a Tea Party if you've never been to one. Go to a Christian Coalition meeting if you've never been to one. Go to the Constitution Club. Go to the Democratic Party. Get out there, and it's going to happen with other Americans. And first, last, and always, they're American citizens. We don't have to agree on everything. Matter of fact, most of us that have significant others or spouses, how often do you agree with your spouse or significant other? Not all the time. But you don't leave home after 30 years either. So, Marilyn, thank you for everything, and we really appreciate the work you do. And go ahead and tell us some more about your events in Illinois, if you would, please.
Well, we're working on some events, but the biggest events are actually not in Illinois. Well, we do have some, but we're working on getting a booth at CPAC. That's in Washington, D.C., the end of February. We're working on a 3-day event in Iowa that begins right after Tax Day, starting April 16th. We're going to hopefully have people who are running for president are going to be there. We are going to have a picnic, a huge picnic in South Carolina. I believe that's going to be in June or July. And we are going to have an event in New Hampshire, probably in September. So we've got a lot of really big things we want to do. Is we want to make Fair Tax a national message that the grassroots and the politicians are going to agree that we have to discuss it. If you want to be president, you got to deal with the fair tax. So those are just a few of the things we're working on. I'm sure I'll be back on John's show when we have more details. And, you know, feel free to join us. Again, if you join Fair Tax Nation, you'll be able to keep up with us.
Don't run away just yet, Marilyn. If everybody would that cares to, before we sign off, let's give our telephone numbers. We've had some discussion. You know, they're enhancing the popbox.com site, so it hiccups a little bit right now, and there's some things, and some people have expressed, you know, difficulties registering and so forth. And we in the California group, today is Wednesday, last night, talked about that, and I suggested that we want people to go and weigh in, and particularly for fair tax. So contact your family members, your kids, your nephews, nieces, cousins, grandkids, whomever, and get them and walk them through it. Get them on the telephone and walk them through the registration. Get them to weigh in on the bills. And let's put our phone numbers out there. My name is John Wesley Nobles. You can always call me. My number's out on the website, everything else, 760-961-1312. If you'd like to be a guest on our show, we'd like to have you. If you want to help on fair tax, call me, call somebody else. Marilyn, I know your phone number is public. You might want to give it again.
Sure. I'm Marilyn Rickert. My phone number is 708-687-9412. You can reach me at my email at fairtaxnow@aol.com, and you can also reach me through fairtaxnation.com.
Yay! Hey,
Yay.
I need to jump in, and we have several folks here that have been waiting for a long time on the line here. Can we take a few more calls real quick?
Oh, bring them on, Bill. Bring them on.
All right. Again, in the order that they came in, I see our good buddy Paul Hanisch, rhymes with Spanish. He's out there. Are you with us there, Paul?
Hey, Bill, John, Mary, good to hear your voices again.
Oh, good hearing you, Paul.
I'm the guy that likes to inflict pain on bad politicians, and so that's why I'm here to
talk. I'm with you, partner.
Now, you know, we're talking about what does it mean to be an American, and, you know, the IE, Uniting the IE event is coming up, and that's something that is going to be full of red-blooded Americans who are fighting for what's right. And that's what it means to be an American, is to fight, to be willing to fight when it comes down to it. Because, you know, we're fed up and angry with Washington, D.C. We're tired of being ignored and lied to and called stupid by the government that knows best crowd. And so tonight, guys, we get to take our revenge on the political class and on one representative, Paul Cook. And, John, tell us your response from Representative Paul Cook, who's our current representative, the guy that I primaried last year. Tell us his response to your trying to educate him about the fair tax.
I'd be happy to, Paul, and for everybody's benefit, Paul Hanisch is a real patriot, ran for Congress against Paul Cook as a Republican. We started, Paul, you're right, back when Greg Imus, and well, we had a field when it was an open seat after Jerry Lewis decided to retire. Then we redistricted, and we took over, I hate to say it, we took Pelosi's old number and became District 8. That was her number up in the Bay Area. And at that time, we had 13 people in the primary. And we got, we did two debates. We did a debate up in Barstow, and we did a debate in Victorville, California. And Well, the congressman's, you know, moving on in years, and I suppose he had had some health issues or something at the time, but he did not debate with everybody, and I've shared this with Ken Smith, and you know, he was financed by a fellow by the name of Charlie Munger, a billionaire, and through the PAC, and they never do it out of their own funds, and so the seat was bought. It was purchased for Congressman Cook, and I have really, you know, Congressman Cook, I have to say this in his honor. He's been twice awarded the Purple Heart. You know, he's been wounded in combat. He retired from the Marine Corps as a colonel. He only did, I think, Paul, one active duty tour. The rest of it was reserve time. But nonetheless, he wore the uniform. He served. We're proud of that service, and we respect him for that. We do take exception with, as a conservative, with his voting record, and you can go more into that. So we have, over the past, you know, he's into a second term, and over that period, for several years now, we have reached out and reached out and reached out to have him on Fair Tax Time Radio. We've been in touch with his staff. I've met with him, he and his staff personally, several occasions. And I quite frankly told Congressman Cook, I said, you know, a lot of us are veterans here. I'm a veteran myself, and we appreciate the work you're doing on veteran legislation, but this is not a one-pony show. We're taxpayers. We have a lot of other issues, and we don't feel like we're getting the representation that we deserve. And so I put out a little piece with the Victor Valley News Press, I guess is the name of it, this morning. Went out to about 60,000 people that Congressman Cook is apparently supports keeping the IRS and taxing income and payroll taxes, and we'd like to talk to him further, and would like to have the people in the 8th Congressional District weigh in on that. And you can go into more of it, Paul, because you're really up to speed on his voting record and why the people in the district are unhappy with that.
Well, you're a nice guy, John, and you know, here's the deal. He's blowing you off. He's blowing us off. His constituents that support Fair Tax. And
well, not for long. I mean, I called him out.
I know you did. I know you did.
Yes.
You've been ramping it up, and that's what this is all about tonight. No more Mr. Nice Guy. That's not how you get respected by the political class, and we know that's a failure if we go that route. You know, here's the deal. Mr. Cook voted for Boehner, even though thousands of his constituents told him not to. He voted for the spending bill that gave $1 billion for illegal aliens. And, you know, he's been stiff-arming us on this issue of Fair Tax. And, you know, we do have some champions here in California that are championing H.R. 25, like Tom McClintock, Daryl Issa, and Duncan Hunter. But none of them voted against Boehner either. So we need to get the political establishment's ear. We need them to start paying attention to us, and here's how we do it. If you have a Twitter account, you can Twitter, no matter where you are in the country, at Rep. Paul Cook. And we need to focus. We need to focus on a couple of politicians at a time so they really feel the pain, and tell him your displeasure with his stiff-arming his constituents on H.R. 25 and abolishing the IRS.
We have every intention of doing that, Paul. We're going to do it.
And if you live in the district, you can log on to his email site on the congressional website. You can also call the congressman at his office, and I'll give you those numbers now and also at the end of my call. That number in Washington is 202-225-5861. And his Apple Valley number is 760-247-1815. You can also go to my Facebook page, Paul Hanisch for Congress, and I'll have that information posted there. And here's the deal. The more Twitter twits he gets and emails and phone calls, the more likely he is to act, because we got to stop begging these guys. That's just, you know, not going to inflict any pain. If we want to inflict pain, we got to put pointed political pressure on this man. I'm going to be running some Facebook ads, highlighting his voting record on this and other issues. And, you know, John Barry has been passing out literature for fair tax. And,
indeed.
You know, we need to double that number. We need to double down and get twice as many people out there passing out fair tax literature. And, you know, I'll be putting out a call to action for all of our Inland Empire Campaign for Liberty members. We'll be letting them know that this is going to be our call to action, our focus, to try and inflict some pain on Mr. Cook. And we're going to cause him major problems in his district unless he gets with the fair tax program. And unless you're politically feared, my friends, you'll never be respected by the political class. You know, we got to abandon the nice guy complex. It just doesn't work. And
I agree with you, Paul.
These guys, you know, political pleasure is a drug that the politicians are addicted to. And if we think that we're going to pressure Paul Cook by withholding pleasure from him, we're wrong. He's just going to go to another street corner and get that drug from somebody else. So I'll be putting out some information on my website and putting out an email blast to all of our all my contacts. And we'll be ramping up the pressure on Mr. Cook to take action. And hopefully in the very near future, we'll start to see some positive results from our congressman.
I'm with you, Paul, and maybe in a moment you can talk about the training session we went to on just, you know, bringing pain to some of these people that don't represent us. And I think that it's really important with not only Congressman Cook, but other congressmen around the country. And as you and I have talked about in the past, Paul, we have some good people in Congress and in the Senate that are supporting H.R. 25, S. 155. They are our champions. We need to make sure that they know that we have their back. We support them. We need to call them up. We need to go in and weigh in on Pop Box. We need to use every avenue available to us and let them know that we're standing with them. We support them. And on the other side of the coin, we have to go after these people in Congress, as Paul Hanisch says. These folks are primarily, they are tax favor salesmen. They're only doing this job in the congressional district that they work in. There are employees. They forget that they work for us. They forget that we created the federal government, not the other way around. We have a situation where the tail is wagging the dog. We have to cut it out. We have to speak in very definite terms. You're on our payroll. Everything government travels on the backs of taxpayers. Nothing moves in the government without extracting money from a taxpayer. We want to put an end to this thing, and Paul is absolutely correct. We're going to have to inflict pain on the tax favor salesmen that are in office to enrich themselves and are not looking out for our interests. And we know, and Marilyn knows, and Paul, you do too, we have plenty of blue dog Democrats that feel the same way that we do. This, we're all taxpayers. We're men ad.
One of my mentors, Patrick J. Buchanan, when he ran for president back in 1997, he was actually running on a fair tax plan. And that was, you know, 18 years ago. Guess what the fair tax rate would have been back then? Today it's 22%. Back then,
it isn't, Paul. It's from 0 to 23%. It's 23% at point of sale, but the effective rate is from 0 to 23%. We don't want everybody to have their hair catch on fire when we talk about that.
Yeah, well, there's an effective rate, and then there's the actual rate. But the actual rate would have been 15% back in 1997. So we see what our drug-addicted politicians have done in the past 18 years. It's gone up 7% because of the increase in our budgets and spending. So
you're
back
right.
Then, Pat Buchanan understood, you know, how vital this was. He called it an all-American tax system that would eliminate all federal income tax and shift the tax burden off of work and savings and into investment and, into, and consumption, as the economists have urged for years, and eliminate the IRS. So,
amen.
About it back then, and we need to keep hammering that message to our politicians that we need to get off the spending, we need to get off the the lobbyist controlled system that is prowling our capital for special tax breaks for their industries or corporations, and get those parasites out of the system and return the our tax system back to the people where it belongs, not to the
politicians
and lobbyists. So let me that call number one more time to your listeners before I go.
Sure. Hang in, though, when you're done.
To Washington at 202-225-5861 or Apple Valley, 760-247-1815, and tell Congressman Cook we're tired of being ignored and we're going to cause him major pain in the next election cycle, and we're going to put up a challenger in the primary if he doesn't get on board with H.R. 25. And if you have a Twitter account anywhere in the country, he won't even know where it comes from. It's at Rep. Paul Cook, C-O-O-K, and just tweet him. Send him a tweet. And
you said it right first time. Tweet him.
Ed.
Well, speaking of inflicting pain, I'm going to have to inflict a little bit on everybody. We have about 8 minutes left in the show, and I do have two people that have been waiting a good long while. I'd like to bring
them
on.
Get them on, Bill.
I'm going to leave you live there, Paul, in case you have something you need to jump in on. The first person I would like to bring with us here, I recognize her number, and we love her out there in the state of Washington. Miss Jamie Wheeler, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, we can.
I can.
I just was calling really quick. First of all, I do think that we need to be educating the Democrats, but as far as trying to get them on board in the bill in D.C., they stuck us with the ACA bill, and I think that it's time for the Republicans to do a freedom move and only have all Republicans on the fair tax legislation. There's more than enough in both right now that could pass it, and I think that pressure needs to apply. And I just looked on Pop Box, and Duncan Hunter is not on.
No, he is. As a matter of fact, I called his office, Jamie, the other day and talked to his communication director, and he was to get back to me. No, he has not. He has not come on again in this Congress. Hopefully he will, and you're right, and I agree partially with what you say. We may be able to get it through with just Republicans, but the problem is we don't have all the Republicans on board. You have the same situation, I think, up in Washington State. We have 53 congressional districts in California, with 37 million people, and we have, I think, 19 Republicans. At the moment, we have two Republican co-sponsors, Issa and McClintock. So we have tax salesmen on both sides of the aisle. And with the irony here, there's a real dichotomy, the disconnect between the people we pay to do our work and the people that pay all the tab, U.S. taxpayers. It's just a huge disconnect. We have Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians that like the bill, H.R. 25, if they could vote and they could do it, we would have had fair tax a long time ago. Our only problem is not the people, not John Q. Public out here, the people that pay for everything. It happens to be the people that we elect to represent us. And unfortunately, we don't have a two-party system anymore. We have a one-party system, and it's big government. And we've got to call out both Republicans and Democrats. And I'm a conservative, but there are Republicans we need to call out as well.
Oh, I'm absolutely with you. Been there, been in that race.
Well, I know you have, and did a terrific job. I mean, here we are. We're calling out a Republican, a professed Republican congressman in the 8th congressional district. And he doesn't vote Republican. He doesn't vote conservative. He votes as a liberal, and he doesn't represent his constituency. Most of us here are very conservative people.
Yeah, this is the most conservative district in California, the 8th congressional.
Yes.
And he's the only congressman in California endorsed by the AFL-CIO. So what is
yes.
the only Republican congressman endorsed by the labor union? So that tells us a lot about who Paul Cook is.
Yeah, well, I live in the most congressional district in Washington State, and Washington State has never had a co-sponsor for the fair tax. Now, we're getting close. We had three different congressional districts with a candidate running on it in this last election. So we're making progress, but we just haven't gotten them in yet. But really, and really quick, just to put an idea out there for anybody looking towards the April 15th, which is now less than 3 months away, one of the thoughts that I had is if to unify fair taxers across the country and have it so that at a minimum we have somebody at every one of our local district offices with like three, as many as we can, but at least one fair tax supporter all day in front of the office there. And if we did that in every single state across, you know, if we just had it so that fair tax supporters would just be able to go to their local offices and then take videos, take pictures, start sharing them on Facebook, YouTube, and then hope if we did it simultaneously all day, there was a fair tax supporter with a flag or a sign or handing things out from the time they open on April 15th till the time they close, I wonder if that wouldn't also start raising awareness, because
you're right,
even Amy. put out an announcement, a press release, so that all of our
yes.
local radio stations and TV
you're
stations
absolutely
know that across
right.
the country, fair tax supporters will be standing and petition, basically picketing out in front of
absolutely.
Every local office. And I think that it would be awesome if we made huge banners.
Well, you're right. Jamie, I'm going to jump in here real quick, and I totally agree with what you're saying, but in the same breath of air, we have to really assess how many people we have. We have like 25 states covered with state directors. We have 435 districts. I don't have any idea how many people we have as district directors around the nation. We probably don't have the people, but that's beside the point. We get what we have. We're like the Marines. We take what we have and we fight with what we have, and we get out and do what you say, and that's a good idea. And we use PopBox, because PopBox, we can put the word out there, and I'm a big PopBox advocate, but I'm an advocate to use everything. And perhaps, and I hear this, and I think that Nancy Casey and Marilyn, and I know Ken Smith over in California today told me, he said, I just get so excited when I see those numbers popping up with people that are writing letters supporting fair tax. We're re-energizing this base, and we have to build this base, and we need a lot more people. And that was one of the reasons I thought it would be a good idea if our High Desert Fair Tax Group became a Tea Party Patriot chapter. We're the first one in the nation that has done that. And
hey, John,
one of the thinking there was
there.
That we're almost out of time.
We are seconds away from it. And
all right, take us away.
Thank you, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before I give it all up, I would like to apologize to anybody who didn't get in. I particularly would like to actually get in the last 15 seconds or so. Let's see here. My buddy from the state of Tennessee, Norman Bobo, I see you're on there with us, and I'd like you to promise us to come back next week.
Yes.
Are you still there? Maybe or maybe not. Maybe they have already cut me off. Oh, you are there. Okay. Before they actually cut us off and it goes blank, I wanted to apologize for having you wait for so long, and I appreciate you coming in to see us, and hope you'll come to see us again next week. We'll have another discussion. Anybody that would like to find out what's happening with Fair Tax Time Radio, go to fairtaxtime.com, and all the information will be there. So I want to thank everybody for being with us. And real quick here, I've got a little 45-second thing that will probably get cut off, but we'll see what happens, about taxes and illegal immigrants, and I'm going to play it for you.
The fair tax is unlikely to affect the amount of illegal immigration, or legal immigration, in fact, that goes on today. What it will do is it will capture taxes from illegal immigrants that today may not file income tax forms and pay the federal income tax. In addition, you have to be a legal U.S. resident to be able to get the prebate. So if you want to be exempt from taxes on your essential goods and services, you're going to have to be a legal resident. So if I was an illegal resident in the United States under the fair tax, I would not only have to pay tax, but if I wanted the benefit of the prebate, I would actually have to become a citizen to get that. So I think it's going to have a very good effect on our system vis-a-vis illegal immigrants.